The Fairy and the Cuckoo Clock, a fairy tale from Switzerland. As a rule, and certainly with most fairies, mortals are considered to be very stupid. In fairyland, the reputation of human beings as dull-witted and slow is a fixed tradition. Before doing a thing, men and women have to think it out. They talk a good deal about cause and effect, whereas with fairies, there are no causes, but things, and events just happen. If they do not, fairies make them. Some situations, like the sun and the moon, the earth and the sky, the summer and the winter, cannot be changed. Yet fairies can bring to pass a lot of wonders that surprise men. They can play tricks that puzzle them beyond measure. 100 years ago, before the days of tourists, stocks, hotels, electric railroads, and other foolish novelties, the gods and all the village folk believed in the fairies. They felt as sure of giants and dwarves, elves and dragons as folks of today that never saw a dodo or a pterodactyl or a five-toed horse believed that these were once plentiful on earth. In fact, there was once a time when men had no clocks or wristwatches and girls did not carry at their waist the pretty gold or nickel dime keepers of today. Nor did the big bells in the towers boom out the hours, nor were the huge clock faces or dials seen by day or night. In the castle of Switzerland, where rich men or nobles lived, they knew nothing about marking the hours and the minutes by anything with a round face having figures on it. One way to announce the hours was to have a candle with two little brass balls on the opposite sides of the wax and tied together with a string. When the flame burned, say an inch or other measure of space, the ball dropped down into the basin. This made a loud ringing sound, which sounded out the hours. Or a little hammer struck a bell, and that is the reason why a clock at its name was at first called a clock or bell. On ship, the bell sounded every hour and half hour, and this is still the method to which sailors are accustomed. 8 bells marks the end of one of the 3 periods of 4 hours each, into which the day is divided. The fairies could always tell the time, as well as men, by the sun, but they were more interested in the moon and the stars, for night was their joy time. The common people had no word for a minute or a second or anything less than an hour. They knew the sun rose and set, and they guessed the time of day from the place of the sun in the sky. At the east, as it rose in the morning, and during the afternoon, as it sank into the west. After the alpine glow, a rose light that flushed the mountains like a maiden's blush, the fairies came out to dance in the meadows. They always went away and disappeared at sunrise, for the dancing fairies would be turned into stone if the sun's rays struck them. It was even worse for them than for mortals, who even amid ice and snow when climbing the high mountains might be sunstruck and die. One family of the flowers they named 4 o'clocks. But by the by, men learned that they could set 2 sticks in a line north and south, and the shadow line from 1 stick would touch the other. They called this time 12 o'clock, or noon. The old men also took notice that in the long days of summer the sun lengthened and in the cold winter shortened its shadow. They were able to count the days before the flowers would bloom in the springtime. Then the yodel music would sound and the cows would be driven to the pasture up in the high mountains. From this noon shadow of the sun, men got the idea of the sundial, placing a round disc or a plate made of brass or copper on a stone or post and setting on one side of it a metal pin, they noticed the shadow of the sun going around in a circle. On the spaces, they marked the hours. Soon it became general fashion to have sundials in gardens. Yet in all the time, the fairies laughed at the mortals and declared that if they could live on earth during the sunshiny hours, they would be able to tell the time of the day from the flowers and the sun's place in the sky. So just for the fun of it, whenever they noticed a new sundial of brass or stone set up in the garden, they invariably held a ball and danced around it all night. Once in a while, they went into a church when there was no one there, and walked and sported around the hourglass in the pulpit. Of the arrogant stupidity of some mortals, the fairies became finally and perfectly sure when one night they gathered together for a merry dance around a new sundial. This had been placed only the day in the garden owned by the old fellow, who was reputed by his neighbors to be a very wise man. The fairies were interrupted in their plan of playing a ring around the rosy when their sentinel set to watch had seen a strange sight and called out in alarm. Now this funny old fellow had a name, which if translated into English would be Soft Pudding. He was a kind-hearted chap that loved the birds and his pets and children, but he was a most absent-minded old codger. He never knew where his hat was when he went outdoors, so his wife tied it by a string on his buttonhole, as she did the little children's mittens, with a bit of trap over their shoulders. Yet he was a delightful daddy, and all the folks loved him. Mr. Soft Pudding gladly paid the bill for his new toy, the sundial. He was so overjoyed at the idea of telling the time by shadow that he talked about it for hours. Indeed, he was so absorbed in it that he forgot all about the sun and the necessity of its shining, or that the daylight was all requisite for his enjoyment in looking at the sundial. So on one cool autumn night, old Soft Pudding put on his cloak, lighted his lantern, and walked out into the garden to see what time it might be. Fool though he was, he found that he changed the position of the lantern. Its rays every time cast a new shadow. Instead of showing one time, it looked as if there were several times marked by the pin, and as if everything had gone wrong. Then, for the first time, the idea entered his mind that the sundials were used during the daytime only. Who would have thought it? He cried as he tramped back into his house, hoping his wife would not know the object of his errand and laugh at him. But he did not tell her, and she thought he had gone to look out at the cows. But the fairies were irritated and in a bad temper because they had been driven away by this intruder on their pleasure. They laughed at his stupidity, but their vexation was plain to see. He might as well have had a wooden head or one made of a squash. This only shows what fools these mortals be, said one fairy to another. Oh, don't be angry or sneer at him, said an old fairy who was a famous inventor. Stupid though he is, he and his wife have always been kind to us fairies. Leave him to me. I'll put another idea into his head. For the sake of his people, I will teach him to turn the sundial upside down, turn its face forward, and put hands and fingers on it, with wheels inside and weights below, and he can always have what he expected this evening to do, and tell time at night as well as by day, and I'll make the new contrivance sing. No longer shall a timekeeper be called a bell or strike, like, or sound the hours. I'll put a bird inside to fly out and call the hours. So the next night, the queen of the fairies took counsel of the owl, the wisest of all the birds, and also as fair-minded as a judge, who is just as all to be the favorite of none. The owl decided that the cuckoo would serve best, and could be most depended upon to always come up, flap his wings, chirp out the proper number of the hours. The Queen Fairy was surprised. "How can you, Sir Judge, nominate a bird of bad character? The cuckoo is a pirate. Does it not lay its eggs in the nests of other birds? How often, besides stealing their homes, it throws out the eggs of the rightful owners, and because of its robbery, the birdies die." "True, I've considered this," said the owl, "but the cuckoo is a summer bird that eats up the hairy caterpillars, which other birds will not touch. In this matter, it helps the trees grow and the fruits ripen, so that men have a clean country for the fairies to play in. Besides, in the courting season, you know it is the male bird's love note that sounds so sweetly in April, May, and June. And this song, cuckoo, cuckoo, we all love to hear." The Queen of the Fairies pondered this answer. She was impressed with the owl's wisdom, and besides, she wanted all the fairies to love each other. So she concluded to invite the male cuckoo bird to be her model for the new clock that was sure to make Switzerland wealthy and famous. Surely such clocks would be wanted all over the world. The land being rich in walnut trees, there was no trouble of getting plenty of wood, dark and handsome, to be carved. So, appearing to old Soft Pudding in a dream, the fairy queen said to him, "Although we fairies all had a good laugh at you when we saw you coming out of your house at night with a lantern to tell the time at the sundown, thus breaking up our party, yet you have always been so kind to the birds and loved our fairy folk and the children. I will show you how to make a new kind of clock. It will not only mark the hours of its face without the aid of the sun, but will send out a cuckoo every hour to flap its wings in delight. Then this wooden bird will call out cuckoo, cuckoo, as if a real one in its feathers were calling to its mate. Do you not yourself think that the affection of this bird thus shown increases the affection of your own house and the brighten every house in Sweden and many more homes beyond the sea?" "I'm sure it will. I thank you heartily," said Soft Pudding. Then the fairy queen held out before his gaze a lovely cuckoo clock made of black walnut with hands and a face figures cut out of the wood with a white birch tree. When he woke up in the morning out of his sleep, old Soft Pudding stretched out his hands to receive the gift. But it was daylight, and of course the fairy was gone. It was the common light of the sun, but he was very happy, even though he thought it only a dream. He proceeded at once to turn his dream into reality by constructing the clock. Within a week, he had made the works. Then he set them inside a black walnut case with ivory figures on the dials. After several attempts, he succeeded with the wooden cuckoo that would come out, flap its wings, and chirp the number of the hours, and go inside by the shut doors. While the clock's face also marked with the proper paint. Then he brought his whole family. One morning, near the moment when the minute hand was approaching the proper dot on the disc, what was their surprise when, without anyone touching the little black house, which was set on the wall, the doors flew open and out strutted a cuckoo, flapping its wings. It chirped out 10 times, then bowed and went into its box again, and the little door shut. The children clapped their hands and the mothers embraced her husband in joy. By and by, for ivory, which was very costly, Mr. Soft Pudding used white birch for the clock's hands. He then set up a factory and gave this work to many villagers, men and women, boys and girls. Soon he made a fortune, and now no one calls him Soft Pudding, but everyone saluted him with a title of respect. When he died, he left his wealth to his family. To this day, his cuckoos flap their wings as they loop the hours in every land, because the wooden clock and the bird were black. The time-telling cuckoo, which was sometimes hitched to a barometer or set in a toy to foretell the weather, was called the rain crow. But with this beginning, made by the cuckoo clock, Switzerland became a land of clocks, watches, and musical boxes.